It kind of helps me a little bit. Whenever I get up here, I keep a picture of my biggest fan. Whenever I look up, it just makes me able to do this. She was my biggest fan. If you will, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. To me, this was a little bit hard to put a title on this. I don't know why, but it just seemed to me that it was hard. But I guess if I have to put a title on this, it will be Pleasing God. Pleasing God. Hebrews chapter 6, or chapter 11, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come before You to speak Your Word. And we realize that we can't do it without Your help. So we just ask that Your Spirit would be with us, and with me, that it would guide me and lead me as I bring this message, realizing that it's Your Word, and we just pray that we will all have open hearts and minds to receive Your Word, and that Your will be done. Heavenly Father, we just ask that You would be with all those who have requested our prayers. We know that they have great needs, but we also know that You are the great omnipotent God, and we just put those needs in Your hands. Heavenly Father, be with us, go with us through this service. This we ask in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. All right. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it stands to reason that if we're going to please God, what do we have to have? We have to have faith. Well, what is faith? What is faith? Well, I said, I'll Google it first and see what Google has to say. Well, Google listed the first as just as a dictionary, didn't say what dictionary it was, says this: complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And then the second part of that would be a strong belief in God or in doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Well, I don't like that rather than proof part because I think there's all kinds of proof if you just accept it. All right, then I looked at Webster's. Webster said, allegiance to duty or a person. Or, and that's 1A. In 2A it says, belief and trust in and loyalty to God. And in the second part of that would be belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. And 2B would be firm belief in something for which there is no proof, complete trust. You know, can you see oxygen? Can you see it? I want to see it. Where's oxygen? Well, you can't see it, but I believe it's there. That's faith. That's faith. There's all kinds of proof. If you don't think there's proof that God exists, just look around you. Look around you. It's in everything in nature. Everything has order. Everybody thinks, oh, the world says this Big Bang theory. You know, I've talked about that before. I've seen explosions. There is no order in an explosion. That stuff goes everywhere. There's order in this world. That's proof. That's proof that God exists. There's proof all around us. We just have to be willing to look at it. So there's lots of evidence. Now, if you're still in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, let's see what the Bible says about faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. So that kind of tells us a little bit about faith. Now that's not actually a definition. Wiersbe said this, and I quote, "This is not a definition of faith," speaking about these first three verses, "this is not a definition of faith, but a description of what faith does and how it works. True Bible faith is not blind optimism or manufactured hope-so feeling. Neither is it an intellectual assent to doctrine. It is certainly not believing in spite of evidence. That would be superstition. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances or consequences." So, and notice it says it's not an intellectual assent. It's more than head knowledge. It's more than, there's all kinds of people that'll tell you they know there's a God. But there's a big difference in knowing there's a God and having faith that there's a God. There's a huge difference. You have to have that faith. That's the heart, believing in your heart, see, that there's a God. That's true faith. So, it's a true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. So, the Bible's full of examples of what faith is. Examples of faith that's pleasing to God. Now, I'm going to speak about these examples and not in terms of salvation. We'll get to that at the end. But this is more talking about believers and what they believe. Abraham had faith and it was pleasing to God. And now, not just, you know, we can speak about Abraham when he left the country that he was called out of. And we just talked about Abraham for a whole quarter. But it says, Abraham believed that even if he sacrificed Isaac. Now you think about the faith he had to have. God told him to take Isaac, go onto the mountain, take the wood, take the knife, take everything he needed to have a sacrifice. And Abraham went. And he had faith in God. Abraham didn't know what the outcome was going to be when he started up there. God didn't tell him what was going to happen. Abraham went up there with faith. Blind faith. And he knew some things. First of all, he knew that God had made a promise to him. That all those promises would be fulfilled through Isaac. So he knew if he took Isaac up there, and even if he killed Isaac, that God could raise him from the dead. That's faith. That type of faith pleases God. God was so pleased in Abraham's faith that he spared Isaac, of course, provided the sacrifice there. And so that type of faith is pleasing to God. David, look at David. David was the younger son of Jesse. He was the smallest one. Smallest in stature. Everybody thinks you have to be big in stature to do anything. But that's not the way God works. So he's the youngest son. He was small in stature. But through his faith, what did he do? Through his faith, he defeated giants. Goliath was a giant. Israel's entire army was afraid of Goliath. And David, because of faith, took a slingshot and killed a giant. That faith was pleasing to God. God rewarded David. What did he do? He made him king of the nation. God was pleased with his faith. Can you imagine? Here's little David going out and facing a giant that the entire army was afraid of. That takes faith. That takes belief that God is in control. Now, then look at Job. Here's Job. He's had everything destroyed. Everything. His friends are there telling him that he's done wrong when he hasn't. His wife's telling him every day, curse God and die. Job had faith. What happened to Job's faith? It was rewarded tenfold. The Hebrew captives, the three Hebrew children, they had faith. Their faith was pleasing to God. Can you imagine? These three, now they're children. These children, rather than bow down to an idol, they had faith that God could deliver them. And they told Nebuchadnezzar that. I have faith that my God can deliver me. See? They had faith. What does it say? This furnace was hotter than it had ever been. Hotter than it had ever been. So hot that whenever they went to throw them in, who got killed? The guards or the soldiers that threw them in died from the heat. So hot. But they had faith that God would deliver them. And what happened to them? They were thrown in there. I always love this. Not a single hair on their head was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of there. They had faith. God rewarded them. He spared them through the fiery furnace and made them an example for people. Faith. Their faith pleased God. If God hadn't been pleased with them, the outcomes wouldn't have been as good. You know, and there's lots more examples in the Word of God where people please God by their faith. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, you know, we're kind of studying that right now. And if you don't have faith, there's another side of this story. You know, it takes faith to please God, and these people had faith, and that faith pleased God, and they were rewarded for their faith. But if you don't believe God, if you don't have faith that He will deliver on His promises, then the opposite can happen. It does not please God. And let's look at Israel when they came out of Egypt. He came out of Egypt. They wandered. They sinned, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And then He finally brought them right to the edge of the promised land. And what did they do? They stopped and they sent out spies, didn't they? They sent out spies. And the spies came back and the spies said, "We can't go over there. There's giants in that land." "Oh yeah, there's milk and honey. He said there'd be milk and honey. There's milk and honey. But there's giants in that land. We'll die. They'll kill us all." Except for two. Now there were two that didn't say that out of the 10 spies that were, or the, all of the spies. There were two that didn't say that. But so think about this. Here's God. He had already done so many miracles. Look at the plagues. Look at the death of the firstborn. We talked about that this morning and talked about it last week. Look at all the things He did. The pillar of fire. The parting of the Red Sea. All the miracles that God have done, and they get over here, and what do? They have a lack of faith. They didn't believe God could deliver on His promises. They didn't believe that God could deliver on His promises. So what happened to them? They were condemned to go back to the desert, and those people would not get to see the promised land. They didn't receive a blessing because they didn't have faith. They weren't rewarded for faith because they didn't have any faith. The same God that defeated Egypt could have, and does later, easily defeat all the nations in this land. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 and verses 20. The entire chapter of Numbers 14 speaks about this and what happens, but it would just be too much to read. So 1 through 3. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And therefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" So see, they didn't have faith. They didn't believe God, who had just defeated Egypt, Now, yeah, this is a different generation. They wandered around in the desert for 40 years, but you don't think they told stories? You don't think they had a history? A history in those nations was passed on by word of mouth and down through the generations. They knew about the miracles of God. They knew about the miracles of God. They knew about the parting of the Red Sea. They lacked faith. You want to receive the blessings of God? You got to have faith. You got to have faith. So they said it would have been better for us, rather than go into this promised land, it would have been better for us if we stayed in Egypt as slaves. And then, well, in verses 23 and 24. And this is, in this time, Moses had pleaded their case and asked God to forgive them and so on. So it says in verse 23, "Surely I shall not see the land, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring unto the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." So see, the ones that had faith, Caleb had faith, he's going to receive the blessing. He gets to see the land. So he pleased God with his faith. So, and then it goes on and on. Not only will God bless you for your faith, but, you know, he doesn't like it when you don't have faith. And you think, well, there's lots of other places, you know, in the Bible where their lack of faith is punished. And when you think about it, think about this. Isn't idolatry actually a lack of faith? If your God is the omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient God, which means there's no one more powerful, there's no one more knowledgeable than Him, why would you need another God? You don't need another God. So idolatry really is a form or a lack of faith. All through the Bible, what happened? Israel had idol after idol after idol. They refused to accept God as the one true God. They always had to have an idol of some kind. Everywhere they went and every culture they went into, they adopted one of their idols. Why would they want to do that? That's a lack of faith. They didn't believe that God, Yahweh, God, could do what He said He could do. So that was a, you know, and when, if like Abraham, they believed that God was all-powerful, they'd have never had idols. They'd have never accepted an idol. So you say, well, all that's good, but how can I increase my faith so I can please God? Well, the Bible tells you how you can increase your faith. Romans 10:17. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So you want to increase your faith? The best thing you can do to increase your faith is what you're doing right now. Being here. Now, you'd probably be better off if you had a different preacher or a different teacher. But being right here in God's house, hearing God's Word, increases your faith. And I'll tell you something that I've learned. The more faith you have, the easier it is to increase your faith. The more you believe what God tells you, the more you see Him work, the more you see the results of what He does, the easier it is to believe in Him the next time. So the more faith you have, the easier it is to build your faith. But if you want to have faith, just like prayer requests. I mean, the way I've worked in my lifetime, I haven't had much opportunity to be here on Wednesdays. But I do get here sometimes. And when you see answered prayer, that should increase your faith when you see that God is capable and does answer prayer. You know, all through the Bible, Israel called unto God. And what happened when he called unto God? God answered him. God answered them all the time. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you want to increase your faith? Attend church. Listen to God. Listen to the word of God being taught and being preached, and you will increase your faith. Now, you all are doing it right. So, you know, it's good. It's good that, but, you know, that's the way you increase your faith, is by listening to God. Now, up till now, I've talked mainly to people who are saved, but if you are unsaved, there's only one way to please God, and that's by belief. An unsaved person can't please God without faith. An unsaved person, doesn't matter how many times you pray, it will not please God unless you ask Him to save you. That's the only prayer that will, and that's a prayer that has faith involved in it. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." That's the only way that an unsaved person can please God, is to have faith in God. Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Notice that. "And shalt believe in thine heart." Takes more than a head knowledge. A head knowledge won't get you there. It takes a heart knowledge. You have to believe with your whole being. You have to be all in. Most of you know that. I've been here a long time, and I've watched a lot of people sitting in these pews being saved. And that's a terrific thing. But it takes more than a head knowledge. It takes a heart knowledge. "For with the heart," see, Romans 10:10, "for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." In Acts 16:31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So faith, it takes faith. It takes faith to please God if you're unsaved in order to get saved. And after you're saved, it still takes faith to please God. You have to have faith in what He's doing. Now you might say, well, obedience. Yeah, obedience pleases God. There's lots of things that please God. But without faith, it tells us what in Hebrews 6? It's impossible to please Him. So you have to have faith. I don't know. I haven't even looked at my watch. It might be early. It might be late. I'd say I'm probably early, but that doesn't matter. But I'm done. So if Brother Farron will come, we'll have a song of invitation, and go from there.